Have you ever had the feeling that if you were a real Christian, you'd never have any more troubles at all? Have you ever thought that if you really sincerely turned to God, that you wouldn't have to worry about anything anymore, everything would be just taken care of? Has the idea ever been suggested to you, and have you ever thought that if you were doing everything that God wanted you to do, you wouldn't have to be a bit concerned about everything, that all would turn out all right? If you had such ideas, all I want to suggest to you is that you were having ideas that are not true to the Scriptures. That's not the way it is. Really and truly, if you are going to walk with the Lord in this world and you're going to put your trust and dependence upon Him, you'll need to be very, very careful. There will be a call upon you to exercise yourself in diligence and caution as long as you live. Now, this is brought out in the book of Acts, in chapter 20, in Paul's speech to the elders of Ephesus. And I'm going to pick up the story in chapter 20, verse 28. Now, if you'll turn there, the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28, you will find out how Paul speaks to the elders of the church at Ephesus. And I want you to notice as I'm reading the warning note in what Paul has to say. Listen to him. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock, over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which He hath purchased with His own blood. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch, and remember, that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn every one night and day with tears." That's the way the Apostle Paul puts it. You see, you and I are living in this world. This isn't heaven. We're trying to walk with the Lord here, and you and I can't see very much. We can't see into heaven. We are actually walking along down here in this world, and the things of God are invisible. You and I have to believe in someone we can't see, and we have to believe in promises that are given to us by someone we've never met and someone we can't see. We just have our own inward spiritual assurance of these things. We're convinced it's true. And because we're convinced it's true, we go along with it. But we have to be very careful. If we were careless, we could very easily lose our confidence. If we lost our confidence, we could give up on what we're doing, simply because it is so much of it is being done in faith. Now let me notice more closely what Paul said to these elders. "Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves." How will a man take heed unto himself? Does this mean you'll never do anything wrong? Does this mean you'll never lose your temper? That you'll always do the right thing? You'll never by any chance ever make a mistake of any sort? No, that's not what it means. What is your salvation? What does your salvation depend upon? What, after all, is really the basis of your confidence before God? Is it not the grace of God? Is it not what God has done for you in Christ Jesus? And are you, as a Christian, not really depending upon Him? You should be. And if you're depending upon Him, you see, that's a matter of faith. That's a matter of going by the Word of God. If you go by the Word of God and trust in Him according to the Word of God, you will be in His will, and He will be able to comfort and to strengthen you. But if your mind wanders, and your heart gets filled with other things, and you neglect the Word of God, and you get interested in the things of this world, your confidence in the things of God will get thinner and weaker, and your interest in the things of this world will get stronger, and you'll be thrown off balance. When you say, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves," it's as much as to say, be sure that you stay true to the Word of God and to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseers. Watch that they remain true. Just make sure that the people that you're associated with, and especially if you're an elder, the people to which you have been, into whose company you have come as an elder, as an officer in the church, just be very, very careful of them, that they stay in the Word of God, in the will of God. And in our day and time, that would include such things as this. Be careful what they teach in Sunday school. Be careful what they teach in the young people's work. Be careful what is preached from the pulpit. Be careful what kind of books are circulated through the church library. Be careful what your young people get into so far as the community is concerned. Be careful what Christian people get themselves into. Take heed, therefore, to all the flock over which the Holy Spirit hath made you overseer. And now comes the way in which you take heed. To feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. How can you feed the church of God? Feed the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Feed the faith of the people. Bring them to their mind over and over again testimony about Christ Jesus. Bring in people who will tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. It's strengthening to other Christians. Interpretation of Scripture. Bring in people that can talk about the Bible and show you how the Bible tells about Jesus Christ. Learn new ways of understanding Scripture that will show you about Jesus Christ. Have someone show you what Jesus Christ is, how this passage of Scripture refers to the Lord Jesus, and that passage refers to the Lord Jesus, and the other passage refers to all of them and the Lord Jesus. In that way, keep digging around in Scripture to strengthen faith in the living Lord Jesus Christ, and recall the promises of the Lord. And recall the promises of God. And remember that all the promises of God are yea and amen in Christ Jesus. So feed the church of God with testimony about Jesus Christ, with interpretation of Scripture, and with recalling the promises of God about Jesus Christ. Bring these things into the church over and over and over again to feed the church, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Remember, the church belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he gave himself for it. So he is entitled to this fact, or to this procedure, that we, those of us who are teaching and leading in the church, will teach them and show them the things of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 29. For I know this, that after my departure shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now that will bring to your mind certain other passages of Scripture. I wonder, when you think about the wolves coming in and entering into the flock, I wonder how many people know that that is language that was used by the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to turn just now in the book of Matthew, and when I turn in Matthew, I'm going to turn to the Sermon on the Mount. I'm sure many people will feel that that was one of the very blessed and gracious and benign utterances of the Lord Jesus Christ on the Sermon on the Mount. So now in Matthew chapter 7, I would have you look at verse 15 and listen to these words. Beware of false prophets which shall come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. They will enter in among you. And in that connection, by the way, he goes on to say, you shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down, cast into the fire. By their fruits you shall know them. Now I know that for many of you, you won't have the same kind of problem that I have. My business, so to speak, my activity in the world is preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Many times when I try to explain the gospel, I'm conscious of the fact that there are other people also preaching, and they preach many, many other and different things. And some of them in their preaching and their teaching would criticize the very things that I've been setting out before you. When I meet their criticism, when I think about it, I have one question to ask. Of the man who is criticizing my preaching of the gospel, does he win souls? Does he bring souls to God? Does he magnify the name of the Lord Jesus Christ in the eyes of the people who listen? Perhaps I hear somebody criticizing some great evangelist. And this evangelist is actually preaching in such a way that souls are won. And someone criticizes his procedure. By their fruits you shall know them. Does that man win souls to God? Here is a person who gives testimony about praying and tells about how much can be done in prayer and preaches on the subject of prayer. someone comes along and in a sophisticated way, and supposed to be in a much more intellectual fashion, discusses the whole subject of praying in such a way as to give you the feeling that the average person praying is just childish. So this person is smart and clever and all that. I'll ask you a question. Does he pray? Does he get answers to prayer? Does he actually produce results? If not, by their fruits you shall know them. I could go up and down the list. Any time anybody ever comes into my own affairs, just the other day, I was asked to consider how I would feel about a certain man teaching Bible in a certain conference. And I asked myself just this one question. What has this man ever done in Bible teaching? How much is he known for Bible teaching? Does he hold to the Bible as the Word of God? Is he known to be a man that believes it just the way it's written? Well, if he isn't, so far as I'm concerned, I don't expect much from his Bible teaching. By their fruits you shall know them. Now, here is Paul. Many, many years ago, this is what he had to say. He said that grievous wolves would enter into the flock, in among you, not sparing the flock. And then in verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. There will be people come right up out of the church itself who will talk differently than what you heard. They will bring so-called new ideas, and they will draw people after them. Take away many that shall follow their pernicious ways, and new ideas will come into the church in that fashion. And you can ask yourself all the way through, do they honor the Lord more? Do they win souls more? Do they promote missions more? Are they doing more for orphans? Are they really helping other people more? Then you can be sure that it is not the thing of the Lord. And yet this will take place. Now, we'll have to leave this here today. In our next study, I will pick it up again to say something more about it. Because Paul says, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Our God and Heavenly Father, watch over thy people, and especially watch over young Christians. Keep them with their eyes focused upon thee. And may every Christian believer be looking in the face of the Lord Jesus Christ and not listening to men when it comes to the things of the Scripture. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen.